Have your Bible tonight. Let's look in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I don't hardly know where to start at, so I'll just start at the beginning. Chapter 3, and we'll start reading verse 1, and read a few verses, and then we'll talk to us for a little while. I pray the Lord would help us and give us maybe something to chew on for a little while. In chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more." And Paul talks about himself here. He said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then verse 20, I want to drop down to verse 20, and says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Pray for us tonight as we look at this for a few minutes. The Lord might help us. I just thought about Apostle Paul, what a feller he was before he got saved and what a feller he was after he got saved. And I thought, you know, it'd be a pretty good thing for us to look at that. And over in verse 17, I noticed he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." And Paul says that, makes pretty much that same comment in other places in the Scripture. He says, "Do as I do, be followers of me." And I thought about that, and I don't know where you have or not, but you might have a tendency to think maybe that Paul was kind of lifting himself up a little bit when he says, "Be followers of me," or "Do as I do." But actually, I got to thinking about that. Paul's not saying that about himself.
Yeah.
I Paul said one place, he said, "I'm the least of the children."
Yeah, everyone.
And I believe that's how he really felt about it.
Yeah.
And I think even he may have had reservations. Of course, he wrote this. But he may have had reservations about writing that. But you see, Paul's not saying that about himself. God is telling him to write. God, the Holy Spirit, inspired the Word of God,
yeah,
gave him what to write. And Paul's just writing what he says for him to write. So God, the Holy Spirit, thought enough of Paul to say that about Paul. And I think if he felt that way about it, I believe it'd be all right to follow him, don't you? I think it'd be all right. And I think if we could find somebody with the stature of Paul, it'd be all right for us to go ahead and follow him. No, don't follow me.
Amen.
I wouldn't want you following me and Brother Fred and Ralph, some of these fellas that I know in here. But I think if we could find somebody like Brother Paul, and that's not saying nothing real bad about me or Fred or Ralph, but, you know, we're like all the rest of us in here. We've got a lot of faults.
Right.
I'm sure Paul had some faults.
Yeah.
But not near as many as what we have. And I think, you know, if we could find somebody like Paul, it'd be all right to follow him. And that's what he says, be followers of me. And so I just, on that sense, I thought about what Paul was before he got saved and what he was after he got saved and changes he made in his life. And the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We are new creatures. Old things pass away. But, you know, we have a way of kind of drifting away from things and getting away from things. So if we look at Paul and look, just two or three things, I thought about this, and I'd read this and thought about it a few days back. And then I thought it'd be all right to just go ahead and talk about it a little now. I thought about Paul's priority, what his priority was before he got saved.
Yeah.
Of course, he was a persecutor of the church.
Yeah.
He went from being a persecutor of the church to the promoter of the church. And Paul was a man that he hated Christians. I mean, he hated them with passion. But when he got saved, he loved the gospel and loved God's people just as passionately as he did when he hated them before he got saved. And so he had a change of direction. He changed his priorities. Paul hated the gospel. He hated the gospel. And he persecuted and took people and put them in jail and probably even had some put to death, by the way, for preaching the gospel. But, you know, he said, over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, the preaching of the gospel to them that perish, but to we that are saved, it's the power of God. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Paul was, had a firm conviction about the preaching of the gospel. And he had a determination in about preaching the gospel. Just as much, I believe he was just as zealous one way as he was the other way. He was zealous in persecuting the church, but after he got saved, he changed his priorities, become a promoter of the church, and I think he was just as zealous, Brother Ralph, on that side as he was on the other side. And so, he said, Paul's desire in life, I think before he got saved, you know, God saved him on the road to Damascus, and he gives his pedigree here. He says he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He had the pedigree. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court, and his outlook on life and his desire on life was to get as high as he could on that, in that status, in that Sanhedrin court, and be as high up in that religious realm as he could. And so but you know what? He said, later on over in Corinthians, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen.
Yes.
You see, he was looking at the things that was seen, the temporary things, the earthly things.
Yeah.
And that was his motive in life before he got saved. That was what his will to be was. But he said, after he got saved, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen. Ain't it funny how things sometimes that was real important to you, little later on can seem so insignificant. Have you ever had that in your life? I have. Things that I used to think was real important, not too important anymore. And we're about all old. And I said, some of you younger people, I don't know, you got Henry and Gary Joe and a few of you. Those things in your life that when I was your age that was real important, they're not now. I got other things on my mind. And as you get old, Brother Fred, get up about 60 and 70 and 80, 55, Brother Wayne, whatever, you start changing your priorities in life. And other things become more important. Not the spiritual things, but families and things, you know, you didn't think about back then. And Paul, after he got saved, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, they're going to pass away. They're not going to be worth anything. Did you know the only thing on this earth that you do that'll ever amount to anything is something that you do for God? Or something in a spiritual realm? You know, the Lord, He said pretty much the same thing. He said, lay up for yourself things in heaven. Don't lay up for yourself things on earth. He said, if you lay them up over here, he said, rust and moth and all that stuff won't corrupt them. You lay them up over here, they'll all corrupt. Won't be worth anything to you. So really in life, what we do for God and what we lay up in heaven is the only thing that really matters.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I know, you know, we can have everything this world's got to offer, and there'll come a day in our life when it won't mean one thing. You can have, they no doubt, these people tonight maybe facing death or might not be too far off, maybe have millions of dollars and everything that this world has to offer, but it won't help them a bit. And Paul said, "While we look not to things which are seen, but to things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And as God's people and as Christians, we need to look at eternal things. That's what Paul looked at. He had a change in his priorities. Changing in his priorities. Then he had a change in his purpose. And this may be even important than the other one. Paul's purpose before, like I said, was to attain to the heights of men. To have men to look up to him and have men to maybe even bow down to him, Brother Ralph. I don't know what the traditions was at that time. But have men under his authority. And you know there's a lot of people like that today throughout the world.
Yeah.
They want authority.
Yeah.
A lot of your, sad to say, a lot of your, maybe your, I don't know, your president on down, senators and congressmen and so forth, they want that position for the authority that it holds.
Yeah.
Not what they can do for you, me or you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they get that attitude, they need to be kicked out. And they've all about got it, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, Paul, that was his desire before he got saved. But look at some of the things here after he got saved. Verse 9, he said, "And be found in him. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law." Look in verse 10, "that I may know him in the power of his resurrection." Paul said, "I want to get just as close to him as I can get to him." He wanted to have that intimate relationship with him. We ought to want to have that intimate relationship with him. We ought to love him in that sense. By the way, he deserves it. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own anymore. We're his. But Paul said, "that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death." My, what a statement.
Yeah.
We could chew on that a long time right there, by the way. Amen. "That I may know him."
Yeah.
"That I may know him intimately." You know the only way you can get to know him? That's the only way you can get to know him.
Yeah.
Through this blessed old book.
Yeah.
You want to know something about him? You got to find it out there. Then look in verse 13. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth." You know, I think a lot of times we let yesterday take up too much of today or tomorrow. Paul said, "What's past is past." And I want to tell you something. If you just have a level-headed thinking about that, it is past. There ain't one thing you can do about it. You can't change the past. You listen, if you could change it, I'd go back and change a lot of things. But Paul said, "I forgot about those things." I think he was looking back, Brother Ralph, when he was persecuting that church. No doubt. Many a time it's crossed his mind how that he persecuted the church. And that would be something that'd be real easy to bear on your mind.
Yeah.
But I think Paul comes to the point here, he says, the past is the past. Listen, what you've done in the past, you might as well put that behind you. There's a lot of things that I'd like to go back and change, I can't do it. But he said, forgetting those things which are behind, looking forward.
Yeah.
Boy, I'd like to get Kathy to see that. You'd like to get Flossie May to see it too, wouldn't you, Ralph?
Amen.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't dwell too much in the past. The only thing the past is any count for is to be a lesson to you for the future.
Yeah. That's right.
We can learn through mistakes. You know, you make one mistake, it takes an idiot to go back and do the same thing again. We do a lot of times, though. I do. But we can learn from mistakes, and that's the only benefit of them.
Right.
We may have to pay. Then Paul's, well, let me look here. Let's look on over in verses 20 and 21. His purpose changed. For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things. You see, he started looking on the other side. I think we need to look on the other side. I think we need to look for his imminent return. And not many people, and listen, I'm going to fess up myself right here. If we would have had an attitude of looking for his imminent return, boy, you talk about a time around here, we'd have it. That would change us in a way that nothing else could change us. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're living in last days and perilous times. I think we're living in the last of the last days. And he is coming back. It could be tonight. And Paul, he changed his purpose. He changed what his outlook was. Apostle Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Not for you only, but all them also that love him at his appearing."
Amen.
Looking for his return.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you something. He made it possible, and I think about this often, he made it possible for us to have a hope beyond this world that we never had before.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, things might look dark, things might look dim, things may not be looking too good, whether it's in the family, in the government, in our country, in the world. But listen, we've got a hope beyond this world that this world knows nothing about. Ain't you glad for that? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When I get down and out, I get to thinking about that. I get to wanting to praise the Lord. A hope beyond this world. A sure hope. It's not a maybe so hope. It's just as sure as we are sitting here and standing here tonight. God's got that in store for his people. And it's a sure hope. And so Paul knew that. And then Paul changed the prize that he was looking for. See, he was looking for that prize that we talked about a while ago. He was looking for that prize to be the head knocker, so to speak. You know, in that religious realm. Well-educated man. Not ignorant, by no means. Well-educated man. And that was his zeal and that was his desire in life, is to go up the ladder. But here, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling." What are we pressing for tonight? What are we putting our resources into tonight? Whether it be financial, physical, or whatever. Where's the bulk of our resources going? I can tell you where the bulk of Paul's was going. To the prize of the high calling. He said, "I press toward the mark or the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Then when he wrote to the young preacher Timothy over there, Boy, this, I like this. He told Timothy, said, Timothy, my race is over with.
Amen.
He said, my life's run. We're all going to face that day one day. Some of us is maybe closer than what we realize. He said, for I am now ready. For I am now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. Be good to be able to say that, wouldn't it? What kind of race are we running? Are we now ready to be offered? What about our priorities? I think we'd be all right to follow our brother Paul, don't you? I think it'd be all right to follow him. So Paul had a distinctly different outlook on life after he got saved on the road to Damascus. He was a changed man. And I know everybody that gets saved is a changed man. And I don't understand why it is like it is, but I know some people is more dedicated than others. But I know also that all of us could be more dedicated than what we are. Couldn't we? I think it's real important that we give that some thought. Because we're all, whether sooner or later, are going to have to face the same thing that Paul was facing. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. And every time I read this, and every time that I even just study it or read it or whatever, always one thing comes to mind. I've told you about it before. Old brother Woodrow Wilms. The last time I visited him before he died, just a few days before he died.
Yeah.
Old brother Woodrow was a godly man, wasn't he, Brother Ralph? And he told me, he said, no sad regrets. I think it'd be real good for us to be able to say that when we come down to the end of life's way. Or, I've been thinking more on this line here lately than I have that. The Lord is coming back. I've been saying, you know, Lord, help us Sunday when we meet together, if we're still here. I think that's what you ought to do.
Yeah.
If we're still here, Lord,